podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
The players leaving out offensively is madness.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to another Planet FPL People's Poll podcast, where we give the Twitter / X universe the choice of three topics to vote for on the podcast. And on today's podcast, I'm joined by Clayton Fernandez. How are you, Clates?
All good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, buddy. Still going. I'm in pain. You're in pain.
We're both yellow flagged, yeah.
It's a good job we're not actual FPL assets, because we'd both be permanently orange flagged at the moment with our various joint pains that we have at the moment. The three topics were, and it was quite a close vote in the end, actually. One topic to choose from was a combined Liverpool, Manchester City and Arsenal 11, which a few people were very keen to tell me that combined 11s can get in the bin. But I thought it might be topical considering the three teams are on a hella good run at the moment and we might have a very exciting title race. I would like your lot to disappear and piss off, to be honest, Clayton. For those who don't know, Clayton's a gooner. And just briefly, Clayton, so I see it was another difficult outing last night.
Yeah, surreal. For time stamping, it's Tuesday morning, just after Arsenal beat Sheffield United 6-0. And a very surreal period of form at the minute. Yeah, enjoyable.
Terrific. Moving on. I wasn't looking forward to deciding which one of John Stones, Virgil van Dijk and William Saliba I was going to leave out anyway.
I know, so same. And I know I'd get labelled biased no matter what I say. So I was like, thank God that didn't win.
I was thinking about three at the back teams if I had to go down that route and just not play fullbacks, I think. The other topic to choose from that didn't win the vote was a potential discussion on Mauricio Pochettino and Erik ten Hag kind of split into two and just will they make it to next season. I guess that's possibly a little bit definitive in terms of where the two clubs finish for the rest of this season and perhaps what the two do maybe in the FA Cup as well, perhaps. In a word, Clates, do you think Ten Hag will make next season?
Yes.
Pochettino?
Yes. I think they both will.
And since I asked you, I don't have to... Oh, shit, you asked me. I'm not sure.
That's a cop-out.
I'm not sure. No, because I think... Like if they both finish really badly, like say United didn't qualify for Europe at all, which actually I think we've not really considered that as a possibility, but if they didn't qualify for Europe at all, that's really bad. Whereas Chelsea are obviously in a really bad position. The one thing that keeps bugging me with Chelsea, there's two things. The stories flip either way. So they've been linked with people like Almiron and De Zerbi, of course, because they just want to buy Brighton and Hove Albion over the last couple of days. But then I keep thinking a lot of what they've done has been model related, and actually on expected goal difference, Chelsea should be fifth. Definitely. And I wonder if they look at that and go, well, okay, this should be better than what it looks like. And maybe, you know, I think fifth this year for Chelsea would probably have been a reasonable finish, actually, considering the inexperience of the squad. So I do think how they perform in the running will be quite important. But I also feel with Pochettino particularly, there's a group of fans there that are just not going to get behind him until he physically wins something. But maybe if they won the FA Cup, that opinion would change. Anyway, the winner of the vote was a discussion about picking an England squad for the European Championships, which I think is going to become more topical over the next couple of weeks. And it was something that I was keen to do it before Gareth Southgate picked his squad for the March Internationals, because I think once he picks that, there's a load of lanes we can just put across through then, because if it's not going to be in the March squad, they're not going to be...
Yeah.
In the main one, I'm sure there'll be a few people pull out from injuries and the likes. I think he should pick quite a large squad for that, by the way. I think he should probably pick 30 plus names, because putting this together, you realise some of the names you're going to leave out, I wouldn't want to put them in a position where they think that they're out of it and then, oh, because there's injuries, oh, you're back in. Like, I think for morale, keep a number of players that are going to be close around this. I also think there's a number of young players that I think have got to go in the squad now if they've got a chance of actually going to the Euros. And I think, therefore, he should pick a really large squad in March. Whether he does is obviously up to Gareth, and Gareth doesn't always do what many of us think. Are you a Gareth in man, by the way? Are you a Gareth out?
I'm a Gareth neutral. I think I'm someone that...
You're calling me about cop-outs.
Yeah. No, but I'll explain why. I think I am I know where you stand on it, and yeah, I know where you stand on it. I'm someone that I am appreciative of what he's done for the England national team, and I get in terms of previously what England teams of similar and potentially better ability didn't get to the heights that this England team has done. And obviously, that's a large part due to Gareth Southgate. I still think there's an element of this team could have won one of the last two tournaments with a different manager, personally. So that's why I say I'm in between. But it's kind of be careful what you wish for, because will there be another manager that can galvanize the squad and kind of get that morale together like he does and get to finals? It's not a guarantee. So I do believe it can be improved upon, but I'm also pretty appreciative of what we've got, which is why I land in the cop out middle.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think probably next in line for the job, if he was available, probably be Eddie Howe, I
Yeah,
think.
and I'm not
And I
keen
still
on
think he'll
them.
be at Newcastle next season. So
Yeah, so do
that,
I.
that's half of it as well. It's like, who do you appoint? I think there's every chance he may step down himself after the tournament. I think if England have a bad tournament, he'll step down himself.
So it'd be interesting to get your take on this. In terms of when I say I believe it can be improved upon even more, that's coming from the tactical lens. I believe this England squad, which we'll talk about in a bit, has an insane amount of quality. I think it could be one of the best squads that goes to the tournament. Do you believe with a, in air quotes, better tactical manager, England can improve what they are?
I think it's important to separate international football and club football. I think Gareth Southgate might not necessarily be a great club manager, for example. You know, if he comes out of work and if a big six job come up, would any of them appoint him? It's probably doubtful. He's probably looking more at a mid-range with respect, like a club like Palace, for example. If they'd not gotten appointed someone else, probably looking at something more like that, I think, which that speaks levels. But I also think doesn't necessarily mean that a great club manager would do very well at international football. And I get it, people want to see a little bit of a better brand of football, etc. But with international football, you're just judged so much on results. It's definitive. You have 2 years of football and you can lose a penalty shootout in the last 16, and that's a shit tournament. It's reality. So I think by definition, results are way more important in international football. And I think he's done a grand job. I think the majority of people wouldn't have done better than him. It's not that I don't think there are not better managers out there. I do, right? I think someone like Ange would be great for England. But guess what? England would probably get absolutely destroyed on a counter attack under someone like Ange when he hasn't got as much time to spend with the players and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
I think it can go both ways. I'd be more than happy if, as long as England have a good tournament, I'd be quite happy if Gareth carried on to the World Cup personally. I
Wow,
think.
okay.
Well, and I know people, oh, the draws, etc. Well, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a semi-final, a final, and a quarter-final, which we were pretty unlucky in. But also by the narrative that we don't win too many of the big games, and it could
And
be we
that's
meet
it.
France in the last 16, for example, in this one, and then it's goodbye again.
And people always point to the routes to those semi-finals and
Yeah, but
finals, right?
you still got to do it.
You do agree.
You still got to do it. And I think of things like beating Germany in the last 16 of the Euros, right? That not ordinarily would have been our sticking point. There were things
True.
that's changed in the mentality, I think, of the psyche of the players and the squad, is to remove the burden of some of the previous stuff and believe in themselves a little more, even
Yeah.
if that's within a confinement of some of the tactical structures and stuff. Winning on penalties, beating a major nation like Germany. I know it's not like it wasn't like a peak Germany by any means, but still
No, but
just
they're
beating
still good.
Germany
Yeah.
in 90 minutes. If you look at how many games England have won in 90 minutes since they won the World Cup in 1966, you'll find that I think Gareth Southgate's now got more than half of them
Wow. Okay.
in major tournaments. That is obviously excluding qualifier. Anyway, we digress. Let's talk about this squad. So what we've decided to do, rather than just go goalkeepers, defenders, etc., we're going to go through that order first, but we've kind of who we're in agreement has got to go in the job in the squad and is definitely going to be in it, and then we'll come back by position again. So goalkeepers, definites for you?
As a definite, Jess Pickford for me.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
Okay. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who you picked as the other
I
two.
think he's the only absolute lock. I think Ramsdale would have been, but because he's not playing regularly enough, there's an element of doubt about that, I
Exactly.
think. I think Jordan Pickford is unquestionable, and I think as it stands, it's probably unquestionable that he's going to start the tournament in goal for England as well. Yep. Defensively, how many are definites for you? And we're going to do this at the moment, assuming on fitness, okay. So I think people like Luke Shaw at the moment is perceived to be back before. If he is, he'd be a definite, wouldn't he, Clates?
Yeah, 100%. We're quite light in left back, I think. So in terms of other definites in defence, I've got, obviously you said Luke Shaw. I've got Kyle Walker, John Stones, Harry Maguire, and Kieran Trippier. And did I say Trent? Or did I miss out? Definitely Trent as well for me.
Trent is a definite, but I think we're listening under a midfielder here, I think, for England.
Okay, all right.
But I'm in agreement with Walker, Trippier, Stones, Maguire, Shaw, definitely go. I think as well, I don't want to say Maguire's pulled up trees for United this year. That would be ridiculous. But at least he's back playing minutes again.
Yeah.
Now. And with Martinez's injury, once Maguire gets himself fit again, he'll play the majority of games, I think, going towards the end of the season. So Maguire's going to be in, even if people don't like it.
He's definitely going for England.
And you are right. The way that Southgate sets us up, he's more suited to Harry Maguire. Absolutely. So I think, yeah, those six names, Walker, Trippier, Stones, Maguire, Shaw, certainties. I've bracketed Trent as a midfielder for England because that's largely what we've seen. And I think, yes, I do think he'll be a definite. The fact that he can cover at fullback as well,
yeah,
I think it is a definite for me. What other central midfielders? Leave out anything offensive at the moment. What other central midfielders would be a definite for you?
So I struggled in this position. I've only got Bellingham and Rice as guaranteed ones. Gallagher's in my list, but I couldn't say with confidence he'd be a guaranteed. What about you? And obviously,
yeah, Jude's, I think you're kind of looking at more second striker, so I'd probably bracket him more as a forward player at this stage for England. But yeah, Declan Rice is the only other definite.
Okay.
At this stage. In terms of the offensive players, let's just say Harry Kane, yes, I think, and Bellingham, yes. Any others?
In terms of
definites to go for you,
in which position?
Any of the attacking positions. So Bellingham, Kane, and who else?
Saka,
yeah,
Foden,
yeah,
Watkins.
You think Watkins is a definite?
Yeah,
I'm not sure he's a definite.
Okay,
he'd certainly make it in for me.
Yeah,
but I don't think we could say he's a definite. Wasn't there a squad like 9 months ago that he picked Eddie and Ketcher instead of him?
I think that was just an experiment, to be fair.
Yeah, how keen is he on him? Now, Watkins has obviously had an outstanding season. That wouldn't be a debate now. Like, if you picked Nketiah over Watkins for the next squad, I think people would generally be going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'd be the same. So that's not a deliberation anymore. I don't think he's a definite.
Sure.
When you put together the rest of this squad...
I struggled with this, by the way.
What did you do? Did you kind of just pick up almost like a second 11, if you will?
Kind of, but I think because it's a 23-man squad, and typically you always take three keepers, right? I was trying to find players.
I think you've got to, by the way. I don't think you can get away with going two. I think you've got to. And it is 23-man squads again now, by the way, rather than 26.
Yeah, and in terms of did I pick a second 11? Not really. It was more players that I believed could cover multiple areas of the pitch, more than just second right-back, second centre-back, second centre-back. So that's how I went and did it and tried to cover multiple positions through some of the players. So someone like Foden, he's someone we've both spoken about. Like, he can play kind of as a right eight, number 10, left wing, right wing, even though he's a guarantee. That's how I was more thinking about it. How about you? So, how did you approach it?
Yeah, I kind of went second 11, but also thinking about players that could cover more than one job. You know, I'll give you an example, someone that I wouldn't take, but say Eric Dier in the past could have been holding midfield player or centre back. You know, these sort of players... Dyer's not in my projected squad, and I'm sure he won't be in Southgate's either. But these sort of players who can fill a couple of roles become way more useful when you're looking at the backup players. I think what's interesting, Clates, you've picked 13 names there as definites for you. I've done 12.
Yeah.
Are we saying Kane over Watkins, obviously, to start, I'm guessing? If Harry wasn't in such great form, like if Harry had had a bad season in Germany, I think people would be knocking the door to say, should Watkins play? But Kane's obviously been outstanding in Germany as well, despite the fact his wait for a trophy is probably going to go on until July, when obviously England do win the Euros.
Of course.
It's wishful thinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if we assume Watkins not a starter, we've both said Kieran Trippier as indefinite to go, but are we saying Shaw and Walker fullbacks? Are we almost picked our England 11 here?
I think we may have, yeah.
We're saying what? Pickford in goal, Walker, Stones, Maguire, Shaw, Trent, yep. Rice, Bellingham, Foden, Saka, Kane.
That's the 11 I've got written down as well, yeah.
Yeah. I think
is that yours then?
Well, I just think by that process, it's almost like, yeah, it is, isn't
kind
it?
Foden's
got to get
bit.
In there. And the obvious answer, I think, is the left. I know a lot of people want to go, oh, Foden and Bellingham as both as eights. I think the biggest one for me is the drawback on Declan Rice for that.
Yeah.
And I think as you can almost shove it in a different way. Obviously, the way Southgate's done it, he's had Trent as like a right-sided of midfield three. But Bellingham now, as I said, is almost like second striker.
Yep.
You can play sort of Trent to the right of Declan Rice, and Rice has worked that left-hand channel for yourselves so well, as we saw again last night. If you want Trent to go and act like a quarterback and go between the centre-backs, and then you can push Declan Rice on, you're not losing Declan Rice completely. He's beginning to feel more and more to me like Trent might be the best partner in that area as a starting position to go with Declan Rice. I think a lot of people would like to see Walker centre. I've mentioned this, Walker centre-back with Stones. Trent right back and move Trent in from there, and then that way you probably, that would be the way I think to get away with doing Foden and Bellingham as eights, and then you could add another one on the left, for example, maybe. But
yeah,
I think that would be the way to do it. This England isn't going to play without Kyle Walker in big games.
No, agree. The only other thing I thought of, which he may do in midfield, is like a Gallagher type profile next to Rice, and thinking more what you said previously about who's the best partner for Rice. And you spoke about Calvin Phillips before, right? And I don't think he'll be in the starting 11. So I was thinking, can he go Gallagher, Rice midfield, and Bellingham doing what he does best as like a second striker working nicely with Kane? But that would mean no Trent. So yeah, that was the only other alternative I thought of.
For me, Bellingham and Foden and the form they've shown in front of goal this year have got to be as close to the top end of that pitch as possible as well.
Completely
and
agree.
I think that's worth bearing in mind. Foden, if he plays on the left, ain't got to stick there, is he? He can move off. They can drift, even Foden and Bellingham and interchange, perhaps. Okay, let's take a step back and let's go keepers. Which two would you take with Pickford?
I would take Nick Pope, working on the assumption he'll be back and fit. And I would take Aaron Ramsdale, just thinking from that third keeper, like off the field stuff, I feel like he's quite a good character to have around the dressing room. So more from that perspective than thinking they'll need him. Who did you go with?
Well, I'll tell you firstly what I think he'll go with is Sam Johnstone rather than Nick Pope.
Okay.
I think Pope fluffed his big chance, I think, before the World Cup. And I think it stuck. He had a couple of difficult games, particularly the 3-3 draw with Germany. And I think the concern about his distribution with his feet has not gone away. That said, you're comparing it with someone like Johnson. When's Johnson like outstanding with his feet? It's not. But the recent squads have suggested that it's Johnston will go as the third choice keeper. I think Aaron Ramsdale will go. Because I think if something happened to Pickford, I actually think even with him not playing for you, I think probably Ramsdale would start the tournament.
So do I.
Under that circumstance, which I think will make everybody just as nervous as Jordan Pickford does. But Jordan Pickford largely plays very well for England. And I do think international football is far more suited to him than club football. Personally, if Ramsdale was playing regularly for you, as much as I've been critical of him, I'd take James Trafford. Purely because I think in terms of style, he's actually more befitting in terms of his distribution. He's more comfortable and he's certainly error prone in some of his distribution at the moment. But in terms of stylistically and building out, I think he's better than Johnston and Pope. Also, I look at it from the long-term perspective and I think, what's the chance you actually need in your third choice keeper?
Yeah.
He's so
minimal.
Slim, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's so slim. So are you not better off taking the guy who, as much as many of us have been quite critical of him this year, but he's still a young boy, that could be the next in line to take over from Pickford. Isn't it better for him to go and have the experience. And nobody is. He's okay. A young boy. He's the third choice keeper. That's how I'd do it. But I just think the fact that Ramsdale hasn't played enough is off-putting.
And that's what lent me more towards going with the experienced route of like a Nick Pope as a number two with Ramsdale as the third choice rather than... I see your logic of Ramsdale potentially second choice and Trafford third. So I get the logic.
I think the third choice keeper should either be... It should either be someone that's really young and you're almost taking it for the future, not someone who's like can't catch a football, but yeah, it's one... Someone you're looking at and you think, could you be my number one when the next tournament comes around? Like maybe he will be in 2 years. Or it should be an experienced head that's going to be really good for the other two goalkeepers.
Yeah.
So, like, he had one where he lost a few keepers and he actually called up Fraser Forster last year, towards the end of... It might have been March last year. He called up Fraser Forster when, obviously, he was in goal for us at the time, but only because Hugo Lloris was injured. But I don't think even having someone like that as the third-choice goalkeeper is that terrible, who knows his place... He's back up. He's the same with him at Tottenham now, where he knows his position in the squad is to help the first, and in this case, the first and second choice goalkeepers. I don't think that's terrible. Like Johnston, if you're suddenly flinging him in as the third choice goalkeeper, his experience is minimal.
Yeah.
We don't think with his feet he's that much better than Pope. Do we think he's a better shot stopper than Pope?
Not necessarily, no. No, I'd actually say no outright.
For me, I'd take Trafford.
Okay, can't argue.
I'm pretty sure it
Dean Henderson come into your thoughts at all?
No, I don't rate him. No, everybody knows I don't rate Dean Henderson. I think Palace have looked better for Johnston being back in goal as well. And I think that was a small concern about Johnston. But I think now he's got the shirt back at Palace, I'm pretty sure that Johnston will go as the third choice keeper. So if Walker and Trips are going and Trent's going, are we ruling out Reece James if he's fit here?
I've ruled him out, yeah. I think you need reliability in these tournaments. And as talented as he is, I just think that's a position that we're blessed in and we've got better reliable options, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's such a shame.
It is a shame.
He should be in this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think as well, Walker will play the big games. Trent can cover you there. He loves Trips. I know Trips had a difficult season, but Trips, again, has been pretty good for England over Southgate's tenure. Trips will go. I don't see a place there for...
I
could only see Reece James coming into a possibility if he proves his fitness in April and say Luke Shaw's injured. And then he thinks, so I'm going to use Trips on the left side. Maybe it comes back into play. But I don't see him taking four. I know that was the intention for the Euros, I think, wasn't it? Because I think it was all four. Trips, Walker, Trent and Reece James.
I can't remember if it was the World Cup or the Euros.
Trent got injured in the final friendly before the tournament, didn't he? But I think all four were going to be in. I don't think he'd do that this time. Remember, it's 23 players rather than 26 now.
That makes a huge difference.
He'd take four players and play right back.
Nah.
No, I don't think... I think Reece James, unfortunately, would miss out. Ben White, he's not going to get a call up, is he?
No, it's a weird one because I think he could be very useful to this England squad. But
yeah, but as a centre-back.
God knows. Exactly. And he can obviously play right-back should it be required. But you just said we're stacked there. So I'm interested to see who you've gone for as the other centre-backs.
There is one right-back I would call up in the next squad, by the way. I would call up Livramento.
That's a really good shout because he can cover both sides as well. That's a really, really good shout. So have you put him in your squad?
No. Okay. I wouldn't put him in a 23 now, but I hope he's in the next squad. I think that's important in case, like we said, you know, Luke Shaw's not going to make it and stuff. Suddenly we've got an emergency at left back. And we now know, we always knew in terms of his athletic ability and his potential to cover at right back. We have seen him, he can do it at left back and also deal with someone like, I mean, he gave Marcus Rashford the runaround when they played each other, I think in November, rather than Rashford giving him the runaround. Livramento was making him go back the other way. So I also think as well, if you are going to end up with Foden on the left, ideally you want an offensive left back, really, so that you can get him to go into the pockets and perhaps play Kyle Walker as a defensive right back. It also leaves us a little bit safer on counter-attacks and stuff as well. So that wouldn't be the ideal solution, but I think absolutely he should be in the squad because we need to look at it. We need to look at it now rather than, oh, yeah, these guys aren't going to make it. Let's call this kid up and we don't know if he's... Let's get him in the squad, see how he feels and fits in. He's definitely one who's capable in forthcoming years of breaking into the squad as well.
100%.
So I think, yeah, let's get him in. And there'll be certain games where you think, well, I need the steady of Trips to cover at left back. But maybe him, because of the Foden element, I think I would like, he should be in the next squad for me. Even though he's not been regular for Newcastle, I think we should look at it.
Good shout.
Centre backs. I've gone with, and this is tough because there's so many names you can choose from here. I've gone with Joe Gomez.
Okay.
And I think that's, again, he's cover everywhere. And we've even seen a couple recently in midfield. So his performances at left back were very good at Liverpool. Again, we're coming back saying left back might be a problem. So he can also cover that position. I think it kind of comfortable left-sided or right-sided centre-back. You can put him in midfield emergency. You can put him at right-back as well. That, for a squad, is so ideal.
Yeah.
To take someone who can play multiple. I think because of his... I think he was out the reckoning, but his form for Liverpool over the last couple of months, I think, puts him right-back for me, where you've got a player who can fill every defensive role. That is ideal for tournament football.
The reason I went okay is because I didn't think we'd have the same there. So
Got him as well.
I've put him as well. The same thing. Like I said at the start, right? I didn't pick a second 11. I picked versatility. Everything you just said.
Well, I've kind of earmarked him as right-sided centre-back.
Sure.
To cover for John Stones, basically. But that, I don't like the sound of that. But I think his versatility stands out is that he should be the one. The other one I've gone for, and he's got the nod on... Again, being able to cover centre back and left back. I've ended up taking about eight left backs. Yeah, you know who it is anyway.
It's Colwell, isn't it?
It is Levi Colwell, yeah.
I've got a feeling we'll, because I think we see football very similarly. So I've got a feeling we may be quite similar on our squads here.
Yeah, there's some rough names to leave out, and I'd like to cover some of them. I think Mark Gay obviously is out for 2 months. I just think it might cost him.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, really. Gay had got himself into a position where I think he was first in. I think he almost is in a position where he was first choice backup to Maguire and Stones.
Yep.
So the instinct in me, knowing the way Gareth works, makes me think that he'll, if he can prove himself at the end of the season, there's every chance he'll still go. But I just think, in terms of the balance, that I think what's changed is Gomez. Yeah. Gomez's ability to show that he can play all those positions, I think, puts him back in the reckoning. I think, again, we've got to be cautious about this Luke Shaw situation as well. And I wouldn't want Gay at left back, but if I've got to play Levi Colwell there, we've seen throughout this season that he can play the position.
Can do it. Yep, same logic.
So I've ended up taking basically anyone that can cover at left back, because I do think it's a potential problem for us. So it's them. I think Gay might be unlucky. Dyer has said won't make it. Can't see James Tarkowski. I know he's been called out in the past. Can't see
Tomori's a name that causes a lot of debate in England circles.
I can't profess to have seen him a huge number of times. You know, probably counting how many fingers, how many times I've actually watched him. I've not been hugely impressed when he's played for England, personally. And I think he's behind Gay in the reckoning.
Yeah.
So if I think Gay is not going to make it, I don't think Tomori is going to make it. Lewis Dunk is another one who I thought was pretty good when he played in the internationals, I think sort of October, November. But again, I think he's possibly going to miss out. Brighton fans shouldn't take this personally. He was probably closest in profile to Harry Maguire.
No, I get exactly what you mean there.
But he's also arguably closest in profile to John Stones as well, in terms of his actual physical passing ability. Like, Duncan played 60 yarders, right?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a weapon, whereas Stones doesn't really do that. Maguire doesn't do that. So I think that's a bit to the armory, which maybe with Dunk. But I think if we think Trent's going to be part of the team, if you just want to do
really
that thing,
it.
You just funnel Trent in between the centre-backs and stuff like that. So I think you might be unlucky. There is another one, I think should be in the squad. I think it's Jared Branthwaite.
And just to confirm, you mean for the next squad, not the tournament squad?
Yes, I think he should be in the squad in March.
Okay.
Because I think he, on what I've seen, is inevitably going to be in contention and a regular for England at left-sided centre back.
Sure.
So I think, again, get him in the squad, because I don't think Colwill either is overly convinced for England. And this guy is a bit of a monster in terms of his recovery and stuff. Now, I mean this in the kindest possible way. He's a bit Mickey van der Ven light. His distribution is good as well, Branthwaite. His physical, in terms of the way Everton play, that adaptation from Everton to England, I think, could be quite tough. But actually, if we think about Maguire, like, I think it can work. And the more you sit there and you think about it and go, should Branthwaite play over Maguire? I'm not saying that's necessarily the case, but I bet a lot of people just went, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, when you pose the question.
We should look at him in the squad as the potential was left-sided centre-back. Again, it's one for potentially looking beyond as well and going, this guy's going to be a part of it. At some point, we're going to make this call to get him in, I think. For me, would be in the next squad. Have a look at him. Even if Another it is one, shot. To call him up and say, chances are, lad, you're not going to go to the Euros, but we want to look at you now. We're really impressed with what you're doing. We're going to get a larger group. Let's have a look at you now.
Yeah,
I would have him a part of that. Again, rather than suddenly you land in a crisis and you go, oh, we've got to call this kid up because he's been brilliant, but we actually haven't seen
what he's like
how he
us.
Can play with Luke Shaw outside of him and John Stones on the other side. And yeah, Branthwaite I would want in the next March squad.
Sure.
I don't think he will be, by the way. Left back, who's going with Shaw? Mind you, I've picked enough other left backs and I. Branthwaite could also do it.
I didn't pick another one. I was just relying on kind of Gomez, Trippier, Colwill, personally, and working on the assumption Shaw's fit. Did you pick another one?
Yeah, I put Chilwell in.
You did put Chilwell, yeah? Okay. So you're stacked at left back if you need it then?
Yeah, because I'm very worried about that position.
I think if Shaw's fit...
I think it's very easy with this team at the moment to look at it and go, oh my God, we've got Foden, Bellingham, Saka, Kane. We're going to rule the world. I think when you start looking back a bit deeper, I think there are a lot of problems. And I think left back doesn't convince. The idea of Ben Chilwell playing 7 games at the tournament if something happens to Luke Shaw doesn't fill me with much.
No.
Because he's unreliable as well from a fitness
perspective.
That's why
I've not gone for him.
But again, he's gone in because I'm thinking that's where Foden's going to end up, is on the left. And again, I think I need someone offensive down there so he can get into his more central areas.
So Shaw, Chilwell, Trippier, Gomez potentially, Colwill. Jesus.
Yeah, but Gomez, I'm really picking as a centre back, but someone obviously.
Yeah.
To be honest, if you were to take Shaw and Chilwell, part of my thinking is if you take Shaw and Chilwell, you need emergency cover for them too.
Yeah, you do. Because
you could,
one of them could go.
You could lose both.
Yeah,
whereas you look at the other side with Walker and Trippier and you think that's more unlikely.
More
if you've
durable,
lost both, you're really unlikely. But even then, Gomez can cover right back. You can stick Trent back to right back. There's things that you can do with that as well. And I think with the smaller numbers, that's what I said, these players who can play multiple positions suddenly becomes more of a benefit, like Joe Gomez.
So you've gone for one more defender than I have then. So it'd be interesting to see if it's one less midfielder or forward that you've gone for.
Yeah, Chilwell goes in for me. I think I had a look at a lot of alternatives in terms of right. Let's just say what happens if Shaw and Chilwell both were unavailable for the tournament. What do we do?
Yeah.
Well, I think Reece James would be pushed to see if he could be fit, and Trips just goes as a left back. I think Livramento would possibly have a really good shout. And I think people like Levi Colwill can also play the position, get a little bit more favouritism versus, say, a Mark Gay.
Yeah.
Rather than picking any of Rico Lewis, I think not ready for that yet. James Justin is playing championship football. He's obviously had serious injury problems himself, but he's a good talent. Tyreek Mitchell, I don't see. Cole Walker-Peters also playing in the championship, and the Luton guys will be screaming Alfie Doughty. That's probably your alternatives.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be any of them.
No, neither do
I. So I think even if we lost Chilwell and Shaw, we'd be picking from the centre-back / right-back area to deal with a problem.
Yep, agree. That's why I thought of Ben White earlier. If it gets to a position where you need more centre-back, right-back to push someone else to left.
All right, let's define it. We're putting, I think, let's put Bellingham across the forwards, if you will,
sure.
And Foden across the forwards. How many central midfielders? We're saying Rice, Trent, and how many more for you?
I've got Gallagher and Maddison, if Maddison counts, central.
It's like that, mate.
Pardon?
That's light. wouldn't want Madison in the midfield too, I don't think.
Oh no, but it was working on. I think the midfield three will be Trent, Bellingham, Rice, and then Gallagher in reserve. And it was thinking, can you have Foden as one of the eights or something?
Can you afford to take just in effect three central midfielders? I mean, what happens if Rice gets injured?
Yeah, it's true. But this is what I struggled with. It's like you probably look at my forwards and think that's so heavy. But again, it was
This is
working on the assumption Madison could be an eight.
why Southgate keeps picking Jordan Henderson and Calvin Phillips.
Yeah. Have you got them then?
No.
None of
No.
the, neither of them, yeah.
Gallagher's a definite for me.
Yep.
As much for his work off the ball, I think you can use him in multiple positions. I think he's even the sort of one, I think Southgate likes to use him late in games when he's protecting a lead as well, to use him in even a wider area or as a number 10 position, drop Bellingham a bit deeper. I think he did that when we won in Naples, for example, and use Gallagher when he was a man short to kind of press in as an attacking midfielder from there, because his off the ball work is outstanding. And if you think of how England teams can fatigue if they've got less of the ball playing against a Spain or something like that, someone like Gallagher becomes really useful, I think. So Gallagher for me would go. You know, I want Kobbie Mainoo in
You've
that
got mate.
squad. If I had to pick the squad now, he'd be in it.
See, I rate him very highly, but I just think it's one tournament too early for him.
And it might be that he barely gets involved, a la Bellingham at the Euros, the last Euros.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can get away with just taking Rice and Trent.
No,
I
but
don't
then
think we can get away with that.
no.
So alternatives.
Go
Alternatives
on.
are he goes Henderson or Phillips.
Yep.
James Ward-Prowse is basically playing number 10 for West Ham at the moment. So that I wouldn't want him playing
Nah, we've
as a
got better
six.
alternatives.
In terms of others kind of playing the position at the moment, this is what you'd be looking at. These are some of the names for you. Ross Barkley
Yeah.
did a really good season for Luton. And in terms of going and get the ball off the centre backs and stuff, great. I don't know if I'd want that when you're under pressure against like a Spain and stuff like that. Lewis Cook at Bournemouth. Yeah.
Not keen.
James Garner at Everton, who I think is more
I
offensive in
rate
terms
him,
of
but
box to
not
box. I
keen.
like James Garner as well. He's another one could cover maybe right back in an emergency and stuff as well. Basically played right wing back for the under 21s, right back basically for the under 21s that won the Euros last tournament. Adam Wharton at Palace. Are we already going down this route? We're going into the championship looking at Harry Winks, who got cast off by Tottenham. You're going to be completely not involved. He's had a really good season for Leicester. Mason Mount, does he even exist anymore? He's not under consideration for this right
No,
now, is he?
no.
One that people might not be aware of is a lad at Lille, Angel Gomez, who played central midfield for the under-21s. He's playing regularly for Lille, with a fourth in Ligue 1 at the moment. He, over the last three games, has played in a double pivot in a 4-2-3-1. He's played left of a midfield three in a 4-3-3, and he's also played as a 10 in a 4-2-3-1 as well.
Okay.
And he's one, again, I would get in that squad to look at. I would get Gomez and Maino in that squad. For
Yeah.
me, Maino has to be in Southgate's March squad to
I
look at
agree
him.
with that. I just
He's
think the
got to be
tournament
in
may
it.
be too early. Yeah.
It might be. And the more likely scenario in terms of Gareth here is that he will take Henderson.
I think he will, you know. I personally wouldn't, but I think he will.
That's the more likely. It's also the experience head, not to the same as Gallagher's younger, but that experienced head to come on, perhaps sit alongside Rice later in a game if you're protecting a lead. The leadership qualities that Southgate values, I think, will be important enough that I think Henderson will go. Like, do I foresee Gareth Southgate picking Mainoo over Henderson? No.
So, what was the rest of the midfield you picked then?
I'd go to four: Rice, Maino, Alexander Arnold, and Gallagher.
Sure. So, that's where my difference was Madison for Mainoo, and working on the assumption it will kind of cover as an eight more than a six, obviously.
Okay, so you're going to have one extra attacking player than me.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I'm going to tell you the other three that I
Go for
would
it.
take.
So, you've left someone big out then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. Rashford would go.
Okay.
Despite very questionable performances this season, I think we can agree on. I
He's on my
just
list too.
think He's over the top running as a weapon. He's something that none of the rest of the squad really have in their makeup. Saka, Foden, these sort of players are more to the ball.
Ball to feet.
And someone like Rashford, left wing, again, when you're going to have less of the ball, I think worries that, even if it's just worries opposition enough, that getting back out is helpful. And again, I think of things like extra time and stuff as well. So Rashford would go. I think for completely opposite reasons, Jack Grealish would still go.
Yep.
Because I think about it as well, and I think, well, if you did lose a Foden or something, who do you actually want to play on the left? I mean, it's probably still Jack for me.
Yeah.
So Jack Grealish would go. I know he's got his own injury concerns for me. And the other one that would go, because we need someone else who I think would be comfortable to play on the right, is Cole Palmer.
I've got him as well.
Yeah,
so Cole, the hell Cole have Palmer I got extra?
Go. Madison.
Ah, that was it. Oh, so we're both in agreement. No Sterling.
Not even close, mate.
Yeah. But I think Southgate, would it shock you if he went with him?
Yes.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think that there's, I think even ahead of Raheem Sterling, I'll give you some other names. So a couple of young players, probably to discount. Noni Madueke, I think if we suddenly had a problem right wing, say something happened to Saka and Palmer, yeah. What are we going to do out there? Well, it's probably shove Rashford and Foden as the two that could play out. I get that. Could that suddenly come onto radar? Emil Smith Rowe hasn't played enough.
Yeah.
Probably. I know you found it alarming that he didn't even come on last night.
I wouldn't say I found it alarming. It was more as a fan, I wanted to see it.
Yeah. I think I would have liked to have seen Jacob Ramsey be in the squad, but he got injured for Villa. I think he's multifunctional in the sense you could play him central offensively and I think also on the left. I think that sort of thing is handy if you're looking at squads. I would like to have had a look at him. I think Morgan Gibbs-White might come into contention next season. Now doesn't feel right. Jadon Sancho is obviously off agenda.
Yeah.
Harvey Barnes has been in a lot of England squads. I don't think he'll get anywhere near this. And I think for me would probably be ahead of Sterling. Ebe Eze is not in this squad.
Jared, I found that tough.
Jared Bowen is not in this squad. And for me, another one I would like to throw as a call up into this squad, even if it wasn't for the summer, Anthony Gordon should be in this next England squad as well for me.
Yeah.
Can play left or right. It's beneficial. Yeah.
This is why I found it so hard. Like, I agree. I know in midfield I've gone light. I just didn't know where else to cut. I found it really difficult to do this.
Reality is how much are you going to use them? If we're thinking about this is where England does look mad strong, right? Because we could go, I think we've said sort of it's maybe going to be Foden left, Bellingham central, Saka right. Well, you could go to extra time and you can bring Palmer on the right. You can bring Rashford on the left and play Grealish at 10, or you can play Rashford right, Grealish left, Palmer at 10. How many more do you need?
Yeah, it's true.
And this is where for me, perhaps again, it's that multiple role ability. All those three understudies that Palmer can play right central, Rashford yep. left, right, and also cover Kane.
Yep.
So there's that case to it. This is why I don't think Ollie Watkins is a certainty, because Rashford, in theory, could cover Kane, right? And obviously Grealish left or central as well. Madison is just central.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And I think the other problem with him, I think about us defensively as a 10, and he works really hard. He's a decent presser. I just think him and Kane, ironically, as the Tottenham fans saying this, as a partnership, I think it's a little bit light on speed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Together. If something happened to Kane and Watkins was going to be our 9, I'd be a bit more keen on
then
Madison.
Then it would make more sense, yeah.
And I just think, even if I took Madison, what's wrong with playing Palmer in at 10? I got asked this last week, like Palmer or Madison, if you could only have one. I said Palmer then. That was before thinking about putting this together. So I think, love him to bits. It's been great for us. I had James Madison.
But for
missing.
England, it doesn't make
I think
sense.
If everyone's fit, I think he misses out.
The way you've outlined that to me, that makes sense. Like, if I could do this exercise again, I think I would change that now based on the argument you put forward.
Love him. Leaving Eze out feels...
Yeah.
I think for Eze to get in, probably needs at least one of Grealish or Rashford to be injured, I think. Then he comes back onto to consideration. I think specifically, I listed kind of first choice backups if certain players missed out. If Grealish missed out, I put Eze as the first backup.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I mean, it's tough fitting them attacking players in.
Yeah,
and that also means leaving
we're
a big.
Stacked.
It means you're leaving a big player out up front with what we've done here as well. For me, it's no Tony.
Yeah, same. But I, do you think by the time the squad comes around, it will be a huge shock? I personally don't. Given like when you actually go through the exercise, I think there's just no space.
I think in most seasons, to give this perspective, I think in most Premier League seasons, there'd be quite a big clamour for Dominic Solanke to be in the England squad.
Why is that? Because of how he's
Because he's
performing.
Had a good season.
Yeah.
He's a good forward. He plays that lone role really well.
I'd be very underwhelmed if he was leading England at a national level, personally.
This is a kid who was, he was player of the tournament when the under-20s won the World Cup.
Yeah, it
was. And he's finally beginning to click for him. He's a really good forward. They'll be with respect to Bournemouth. There'll be some real interest, I think, even from the big six clubs for him this summer. And yet, he ain't even under consideration here.
No. Calvert-Lewin's another one who I'm not for a minute suggesting that he would be
no
anywhere near.
Chance.
But I think if you rewind like 2-3 years ago...
He was first choice backup to Kane, 100%.
Yeah, it's funny how quickly
that's
things
at the last Euros.
Yeah.
He was the one who went. We haven't mentioned Tammy Abraham.
Good shout. Forgot about
Callum Wilson was... has been great, particularly as a substitute.
He has.
For England as well. I also feel that's a role that I'm quite comfortable with Ollie Watkins filling. I've spoken about this before, about having players I think would be comfortable as a substitute. Watkins strikes me as one I think can be, like Wilson was. And I wonder if that also might even give him an edge over Tony. I just, Watkins' form's been too good for him not to be in the squad.
You know what it is as well? It's like when you look at what you need from that position, Kane... obviously, number nine. I just think Tony is too similar profile-wise to him. I think we need something different as the substitute striker.
You say that, but then also you got to factor in, well, what if something happens to Harry? What do
and
you then
you
what,
want that same
what do you
profile.
Then want? No, but do you necessarily? Do
and
you
that's why I think it isn't
want
Watkins
the same profile?
And...
is it just that Kane is so good at being Kane that we go, that's fine? Or do we have to have Tony as like, because he's a little bit more similar profile to Kane rather than Watkins, who's like brilliant at running the channels. But actually, his hold-up and his link-up play has improved dramatically under Unai Emery.
Yeah, so, I think it's a case of...
simple question. If Kane got injured, who do you want to play up front for England?
So I would like Tony, but I think when you're planning these squads, you can't plan on the assumption, oh, someone might get injured. I think you just have to kind of, unless you're talking about your injury-prone players, I think when it's someone durable like Kane, you can't work on that assumption. So ideal world, I personally would like Tony's profile to replace Kane if he was injured, because I like that dynamic. Being realistic, I would go Watkins.
By the way, to answer the question, my answer would be Foden.
Okay, go on.
Just play Foden and Bellingham as 2 10s.
Yeah, okay.
Is and play Grealish or Rashford on the left. Sod
interesting.
It. Yeah, I just think that's dynamite. Good
How
luck.
Do you think that would actually play out?
Just great.
Like, I can't.
I'm quite excited thinking about that. I couldn't see him doing it. But
no,
yeah, just
no
Foden,
would...
just Foden and Bellingham with the freedom to just literally go and do what you want.
Okay.
And let centre backs. What are you going to do? Are you going to come and press them, or what are you going to do? And then you've got Saka, and particularly I think maybe if it was Rashford actually, Saka, you're going to go and press
into
them
too,
and you've got Saka and Rashford, yeah, vacating the space. Yeah.
I'd love to see that play out.
That's what if Kane was ruled out of the tournament, that's what I'd do. Foden up front, personally.
What do you think he will do if Kane is ruled out of the tournament?
I think Watkins will play. And yeah. I don't have a problem with that at all, by the way. I think he's genuinely been outstanding. I think he's improved immensely under Unai Emery, and would be my choice to go over Tony. If you'd have said that to me 6 months ago, even during Tony's suspension, I'd have been surprised if I said that. Tony would have been a shoo-in for me.
Watkins is having an unbelievable season.
Yeah, I think Watkins has leapt ahead. You can't really make the case, I think, to take both Watkins and Tony.
I think
them offensive midfielders you're leaving out, plus there's people like Rashford, can obviously cover through the middle. And we're talking about Foden can play it. So can Cole Palmer. play as that position as well. And Bellingham could play as the nine if it came to it as well. So taking like Watkins and Tony feels unjustifiable for me. If it's 26 man squad, sure, take both.
Yeah.
In a 23, it's a luxury that you one of them's probably seeing next to no minutes.
Exactly.
Less usage.
Yeah, it doesn't make
sense.
He's
also only going to take Kane off if he probably has to, or if a game's won. The chances are these guys are either covering for Harry at 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the game, or they're coming in, one of them's coming on to join him because we're desperate for a goal and we've gone 4-4-2, for example. Otherwise, they're not seeing much minutes. It's not going to go, oh, I'm going to give Kane a rest, unless we won the first two group games, we've got the group one, and maybe losing gives us a better draw, like in 2018. Not going to see the minutes. It's one or the other, Watkins versus Tony, and that's mad. The players you're leaving out offensively is madness.
It's
they're all
nuts.
Fit. It's madness.
That's what I said earlier. Like the level of quality this England squad has got, especially in the forward areas, it's a joke. It's absolutely stacked. I'd say it's one of the best in Europe, to be honest. Like, I'd put it up there with France in terms of what's available to England.
I think offensively we've got the best squad.
Yeah, so do I.
I think we could pick a group of players that won't go, who would comfortably get out of the group.
Yeah. What do you make of England's chances for the tournament?
We're going to win it, mate.
Do you genuinely believe that?
I genuinely think there's every chance. Yeah, I think there's some key things need to happen. I think Jordan Pickford has to have a good tournament, but there's no reason on his other England tournaments to think that he'd have a bad one. I think the left-back issue is bad. I think there are two key players that England can't do without to win the tournament. One is John Stones and the other is Declan Rice.
Okay.
It would be better.
Yeah.
Because you can't replace Jude, but you've also got other players who can do a really good job for you. We're going to call up Maddison instead. Like, can we still do well? Yeah, of course we can. But to lose Stones, you know, I said I've got Joe Gomez as like the backup for him. You lose Rice. Stones and Rice are the really big two. Left back is a problem. Jordan Pickford needs to have a good tournament. So we can look at all them offensive players and say, yeah, that offense is great. Even the players we're leaving out, joke. But it's part way he's quite defensive with how he plays, because if they get it right defensively, those lot at the top end will take care of itself, arguably.
Well,
yeah, I think
right.
There's a good chance we win it. I think France will go off as favourites, and rightly so. But I think we've got every chance. Might well depend on the draw again, because as is common in these 2014 tournaments, a path to the semi-final, for example, will open up like a joke for somebody. Chances are it can't keep being us, I suppose. I think the old one with England is, you look at these draws and you think, quite often you think, oh, I don't want to play them. I don't want to play them. Or if we finish second in this group, we've got to play them in the last 16. I think other than France, I'm not really bothered who we play.
I agree.
Spain,
with that.
Germany, the Dutch. I think Portugal will be very, very good, by the way. These teams can all beat us. But in terms of fear, I think they'll be just as worried about us now, I think.
I agree. Nicely done.
For those who like, this England propaganda. No, we're the most pessimistic in the world. We just sing football's coming home for the crack, because secretly inside, we hope that it never really does. So we can just keep enjoying the dream that maybe it does. Because if we ever do win a tournament, what are we going to do then?
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. People get very rattled about that, don't they? No further comment.
They do. All right, cool. Good stuff. That was a good chat, Clates. Thank you very much. As normal would be Sky Fantasy Football podcast tomorrow, but it's going to be on Thursday this week. You've got Clash of Correspondents tomorrow ahead of Double Game Week 28 for Bournemouth and Luton with Neil Grover and Dan Ashby. Just leaves me to say thanks very much, Clates. Let us know in the likes, comments, what you changed different. I'm sure there's absolutely bloody loads. Hit the like button, hit the sub button, and cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.